Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener podcast. I am Colorado State University horticultural specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Ginger Williams, Colorado State University Extension State Program specialist focused on health across the lifespan. Now let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of staying healthy in the winter without a garden. Hello, Ginger. How are you?
I'm doing great, Linda. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on. I'm excited to hear about what you have to say today.
I'm excited to be here. It's my first ever podcast, so
you'll do
glad
fine.
this is.
You'll do
Thanks.
fine. Well, so your role focuses on health across the lifespan. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how it relates to gardening? Especially, can you explain lifespan to folks?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my background is in human development across the lifespan, and I initially was really interested in elementary education and working with kids. And throughout my career, of course, our career paths take a lot of dips and turns and wild roads, and I found myself working with older adults and fell in love with it. And I realized through that experience that we have a lot to learn from our elders, really. And older adults have so much wisdom to share, and we've got to look at our health across our lifespan, right? The choices that we make in our childhood and teens and adulthood affect us in our older age, and we want to live healthy lives, right? We want to be able to do all the things that we want to do, and when we retire, we want to go do all the fun things. So, I think it's really important. There's a lot of stigma in, across America and across the globe about aging. And so really my whole goal is, how do we reduce those negative feelings about aging and live the lives that we want to live?
Yeah, and I know as I age, you start thinking about, well, what's next and what should I expect and how can I plan? And so you really want to do your homework and you really want to be positive about it. And getting out in a garden even in the winter time, whether it's walking on a good day or having houseplants around you, picks your mood up, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there's so much pressure to go to the gym and do all of these heavy duty exercises, and the research doesn't necessarily always show that. I think keeping our bodies moving in whatever way you can, there's so many people with so many different abilities that I think that the point that we can get to is, how do we move our body? And gardening is such a great way to do that. Now, we can't always do that in the winter. We're not very lucky like Hawaii, here in Colorado, but there are things that we can do to get our bodies moving and still stay connected with gardening and staying connected with the people that you love to garden with. And so I think that's what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, and you also happen to mention prior to this the blue zone, and I did some research, and this is exciting actually. Tell the audience what that is.
Yeah, so I'm definitely not the expert on blue zones. There's a Netflix special that came out, and it's called Live to 100: Secrets of the Blue Zones. And I was just like, I love documentaries. So I watched it and it was just incredible. I think it backs up a lot of the things that Extension really stands for, which is, gardening and growing our own food, and how can we help ourselves and learn the most that we can and engage with community. And so it really felt like a great opportunity to grow what we learn about blue zones through extension. And so for those of you who don't know, blue zones are regions in the world where people live significantly longer and healthier lives, often reaching 100 years or more while staying active and vibrant. So it's just amazing that, there are these very specific concentrated areas that they've found through research that there are commonalities amongst these groups of things that they do to stay healthy across their lifespan.
And the one thing that when I did my research, is that they are active and they stay
Yeah.
active. And we're meant to move, right?
Yep.
So
Yep.
if we stop moving, we sort of slide backwards, right?
Absolutely.
I think if we don't walk every day or move every day in some way, We lose a percentage every day.
Absolutely. And I think it was so interesting. It was eye-opening for me. I think, I'd mentioned before, we think about like going to the gym and paying money and doing all these like high impact exercises, which are definitely great for some circumstances, but a lot of these, most of these countries and most of these areas, they were really low impact exercises, right? I think it was in Okinawa, Japan, which they, fun fact, have the highest concentration of centenarians of all of the areas. And a lot of that is due to diet, purple potatoes, which I'm sure you probably know a lot more than me, Linda. But one of the things that they do is they don't have a lot of chairs in their home. They sit down on the floor and they stand up and they get down and up. And really, that's that muscle movement, getting up and down. I think even people in their hundreds, if they're still able to, right? We know that disabilities exist. But for the most part, people are moving and grooving. They get up, they garden. It's just part of their culture. I would be remiss to say a lot of these countries and these areas have very tight-knit communities where you can access services and food within a short period of a short area, and so people can walk to get these things. And maybe that's not always the case, here in the United States. But I think there's things that we can learn from that and take that in our daily lives.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing that I read in the research was there's a gene for longevity, M26, in these people. And I thought, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't read as much about the gene, and there's only so much we can control with genes, right? But I think sometimes we can focus on the things that we can control, right? Like we can't do everything that they can do in Japan. We may not have the same circumstances, or even in Costa Rica, right?
Right.
Is another place that they have some of the lowest diabetes and heart disease rates. But there are things that are tangible things that we can do in our lives, and how do we pick and choose what fits for us?
Well, and the other thing is, in those areas, the two areas you mentioned, they have access to all this fresh food,
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
you're looking at grow local or go local, I mean, how else do you get there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think, in talking with your audience who are gardeners, and I think, how do we share those that information with others? And I think the Master Gardener program through CSU Extension is an incredible way to share information. And I think that's another thing through the Blue Zones and through a ton of research around social isolation and loneliness is, sometimes we can't just focus on nutrition. We can't just focus on exercise. We've got to look at the whole person. And so what we've also found is isolation and loneliness can be more detrimental to your health than smoking cigarettes, right? So finding ways to connect with other people and making sure that we're staying connected. You may not need to connect with 100 people. I don't think there's many people that want to connect with 100 people on a daily basis, right? But who are your people? Who are the people that help you feel like you belong, and get you every day, and making sure you're checking in with one another?
Exactly. And you, when you do that, you are opening yourself up in a different capacity. And if you connect with positive people, you're doing positive things. I say in my book that, we exchange energy all the time, and plants exchange energy with us, and they help us raise ourselves up. And I think that's all of that is a good thing. And
Yeah, absolutely. We have a department through CSU Extension, through our community development group. Patty Schmidt is wonderful, and they've worked a lot with the human development department around research on belonging, right? Because you can feel lonely in a crowded space, right? Or you can feel lonely by yourself, but when you're with people who get you, right?
right.
Who you feel like you can be your authentic self with, that is a measure of health. And so I think we underestimate those small things.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, what do our listeners do, especially in our colder climates when our gardens aren't available?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of practical tips. I think, like I said, going to gyms can be very expensive, but we have a ton of stuff in our homes already that can get our bodies moving, right? If you've got stairs, let's go up and down the stairs. You got a can of beans. If you've got a water bottle, you've got 1 pound weights. Right? And so really just like if you're sitting and watching TV, get your body moving. Get your body moving. The other thing is making sure you're drinking water, right? In Colorado, we're at a higher elevation, especially, hey, there you go. Especially up in the mountains. And of course our mountain folks know that. Maybe our visitors sometimes forget that you gotta drink a lot of water. It's a very dry climate. And other things that we can do are like there's a ton of stuff that's online now, right? Podcasts. There are virtual programming. There was a lot of COVID was a big challenge, but there was a lot of good things that came out of COVID. There's so many free exercise programs that you can do at all ability levels. If you want to do a serious HIIT workout, you can do that online. Just look up a video on YouTube. If you have maybe a disability or not able to move around as much, there are seating exercises that you can watch for free. In fact, because I do a ton of aging work, we work with AARP and a group called Senior Planet that provides all free programming for people online. So you can access from your computer, from your phone, and they have everything from exercise groups. They just have like chat groups if you want to check in with folks to how to learn about technology. In fact, I just met them the other day. They've done a ton of research on AI and connecting older adults to learn about AI and how that can help improve their lives. So there's so many resources out there, but it's just knowing about them.
Right. And having the bandwidth to have internet, which is another barrier in our rural areas here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that brings up another point is, there's things we can do in our house, but we also, maybe not every community, but connecting with your local public library. If you have a community center, not every community has a community center, but public libraries are incredibly progressive spaces to connect in so many different ways. I was just actually in Johnstown yesterday, and they had kids doing 3D what is it, that the plastic printing or whatever, the 3D
Oh yeah,
printing?
3D printers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just books anymore, right? Like they provide so many resources in so many ways, access to internet. So yeah, I think, thinking about, what resources do you have in your area? And maybe you don't. There are some very rural areas, but thinking about how do you connect with your neighbors? Maybe just checking in with an elderly neighbor that's down the road or, a mile down, down the field, and just checking in with them and saying, hey, can we have lunch once a week? I think that
Yeah.
would do a huge, huge for everyone's mental health, right? Everybody benefits.
Right. Well, our library in Julesburg, they had a coloring book session. I think it was at least once a week. And so a group would get together and they would color and talk to each other and interact. And I thought that was a really cool activity for
Yeah,
seniors, you know?
absolutely. I
Yeah.
don't think it matters what the activity is, right?
No.
When we were looking at the research on loneliness, older adults are actually not the number one age group reporting loneliness. It's our children and teens. And so I'm really interested, and I work with a professor on campus, Dr. Christine Fruhoff, and we're looking at, how can we increase intergenerational opportunities for children and older adults, or adults any age, to connect, right? Like, let's get away from the screen. Screens definitely do us a purpose, but like that genuine interaction can be so helpful for everybody. There are skills that older adults may have that children want to learn about. There's this whole resurgence in learning about sourdough and crochet and all of these things that came through COVID. And there are a huge amount of people that have these skills that we can share. And also, we've seen a ton of interest from older adults that they want to learn technology. They want to have a smartphone. They want to be able to do all these things. And so I think there's a stigma that, like, older adults don't get technology. I would challenge that. There are a lot of adults. We did a class up in Sterling. My colleague Lakeisha Hirschfeld and Peggy Stoltenberg, they ran, I think it was like maybe a 6 week class on AI through AARP Senior Planet. And there were a lot of people that were skeptical, and they ended up loving it. In fact, they did an essay at the end of the class about what they learned, and one of them, one of the participants, wrote an essay and put it into AI to improve the quality of it. And so it was just really cool to see, sort of break down those barriers and stigmas.
Yeah, you can ask Chat GTP, which is an AI generated program, to look over your essay. And you can say, fix this text for grammar, tone, all of that. And if you don't like it, you can ask them to do it again. And if you still don't like that, you can take the pieces you like and write the rest yourself. So
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, it's
One of the big challenges, so I am a mom with little kids and dinner is always a challenge and trying to make sure we're making healthy choices. So I use ChatGPT to make a meal. Say, these are the ingredients that I have in my cabinet. Can you give me a 2-week recipe list with these ingredients? And sort of these are the things that my kids don't like, right? And exactly, it'll give you a 2-week list with the things that you have. And that was just such a time and a mental space saver for parents, right?
Wow, well, those are
Amazing.
the positive ways we can use that.
Absolutely.
I know you said it's important to stay physically active at all ability levels, but gardening also provides many mental health benefits as well. Can you explain to the listening audience what they might be?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that connection to nature has been so understated, but and I know, Linda, you know this area so well, especially with your book. Connecting with the earth, there's so many, even you can talk about this better than I can, bacteria and whatnot in the soil that are good for our health and that we breathe in. And I think getting access to that fresh air, I think one of the concerns that we have in the winter is vitamin D deficiency. Most people are vitamin D deficient anyway, but staying in the house, you just don't get that sunlight, and we don't, in general, Americans don't eat enough foods that contain vitamin D to get them up to the optimal level. And so getting outside is so important. Super, super important. And vitamin D can, if your levels of vitamin D can increase your risk of having depression. So getting outside, getting that sunshine, is good for your physical and mental well-being. In fact, they say like being in the cold weather is good for your body. It's good to get out of that comfort zone, and get into that cold weather. And so really, gardening, we know our gardeners love it. They feel good. They have access to the things that they love to do spiritually, physically, mentally. And so I think there's so many mental health benefits. In fact, we have some faculty in our CSU Warner College of Natural Resources connecting with our CSU Extension folks to do greater studies and have a significant focus on nature and health. In the last year, that's really grown. So it's going to be
Wow.
exciting to see what comes out of that.
Well, there is already research on, people that have a hospital stay and they have surgery. And if you're looking at a brick wall, you're going to take longer to heal. But if you're privileged to have a tree or a grassy lawn or garden outside your window, you're going to heal faster. And in some cases, a day or two faster. And
Sure.
so the significance of that is the green color actually equates with our heart chakra. And our heart chakra is about healing and raising our vibration. So going out into the garden, sitting on the grass, and just taking it all in, or even walking across the grass, helps you ground and helps you take in that color that's so beneficial. Streets lined with no trees are more violent than streets lined with trees. And what happens is research bears out that people will come out of their houses and feel safer to associate with their neighbors. And so you can see that in some aspects in different towns and cities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there are health disparities across the globe, and how do we get those communities to have access to those resources is really important. And I think, in the work that I do and the work that our CSU Health Extension team does is looking at social determinants of health and, why do certain communities, even if 2 blocks away, have much far worse health outcomes than, communities that have more resources and opportunities. And so I think it's really important to think about nature in that. Absolutely.
Well, we've long forgotten what Olmsted did in his early architectural years, doing gardens and architecture. When he designed a community, it was integrated with open spaces and like, park setting and tree-lined streets, and nature was a part of our world. And now it's less that way.
Sure. Yeah, I can absolutely see that. And we go back to the blue zones, right? When you have a sort of tight-knit community where you can get your groceries, where you can grow your food, where you can just walk down the street to take your kids to school and access a doctor. When all of those things are close, you don't need to drive and, be sedentary most of your life, and you're not even feeling like you have to work for it because it's your everyday life.
Right. And
Yeah.
those communities are a lot greener. I mean,
Yeah.
Costa Rica, look at Costa Rica. Look at Japan, look at their landscape. It's all different. They're more integrated. They care more about their gardens. I mean,
Yeah,
it's
and they
really,
have the resources to do that, right?
yeah, they do. They do.
Another interesting city, Sardinia, Italy is one of them, and they have the highest concentration of men, specifically age 100 plus. And speaking about, green spaces, so it's very mountainous area, and so there were 100-year-olds. So they researched the angle of the streets going up and down and associated that with health, right? So the flatter your streets are, the worse potentially health you have. But because they have, like in San Francisco, those streets are super, super angled, right? But people are going up and down all the time because they have to, because they got to go to groceries, they've got to go to the store. It's just a natural part of life. And because they do it every day, it's not as difficult, right?
Yeah.
Compared to, in my community, it's very flat. If I went to San Francisco right now to, climb one of those, big old streets, that might be kind of tough for me. But for a 100-year-old to do that on a daily basis, it's just amazing.
Well, and your body is building strength when you do that. If it becomes a normal routine to walk on a flat surface, you get to a plateau and you stay at that plateau. That's why you said walking up and down the stairs is very important. You're going to feel more winded if you hadn't had any challenges walking up an incline, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, just getting your body in the habit, committing to 5 or 10 minutes a day. We don't want to go crazy and do it 2 hours a day right from the beginning, because we know the fail rate of that is pretty high. I think it's the new year and people are talking about New Year's resolutions, and the research behind New Year's resolutions are they're not great, right? People, the failure rate or the quitting rate of New Year's resolutions is not good. But if we set SMART goals, right, that are realistic, and small and build upon one another, you're much more likely to achieve those goals.
Well, it's a new habit, number one, that you're
Yeah.
trying to make and create. And then, you get upset with yourself and, oh, I didn't do that yesterday and I'm tired today. You know how that goes. And
Yeah.
so the next day you try to do it and pat yourself on the back for whatever you do and give your own positive affirmation back to you, and
Yeah.
that's kind of, don't beat yourself up is the bottom line to all that.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to like having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. So, right, a fixed mindset is kind of like I'm achieving perfection. If I don't get it right the first time, or if I don't follow through one day, then it's just done forever because I didn't get my goal. But if we have a growth mindset where we want to positively reinforce the effort, not the end goal. Right. So I worked really hard this week, but I kind of slacked off my second week because XYZ was going on, or I just wasn't feeling it. I'm going to give myself grace because the growth is what's important, not the end goal.
I like that name, growth. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a positive way to say it.
Yeah. It's a good one for our gardeners, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What resources are available to our listeners?
Yeah. There's so many incredible resources. In my work, a lot of the challenges, people being aware of resources. So that's what, when I was working with Linda to get this set up, and I always try to include resources in my work just because you never know what people do or do not know about. One of the things that we've talked about is our Nature and Health Initiative through CSU Extension. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can connect with your local extension agent. Another one is, so like I said, I work in the healthy aging world, and I manage a program called the Aging Mastery Program, which is geared toward 55 and over adults, but we've had people that are in their 40s that come with their parents. And so really it's like a co-learning space, but it's a great class to learn about a lot of different topics from healthy exercise, fall prevention, nutrition, but also medical things like medication management, having critical conversations about medical decision making, which can be really hard, and then also how to manage those relationships when things get challenging as we age, because we know, as stress is introduced into our lives, we've got to make sure that we're able to manage expectations with folks. And so the Aging Mastery Program is a really great introductory course to think about those topics. And we've done it in so many different ways. We actually were just published for an article, or I'm sorry, an abstract for the Gerontological Society of America for our work working with diverse communities. So working with Spanish-speaking populations, migrant and immigrant populations, and native populations. So we've done it in many, many different ways, and it's a great way for older adults to learn and to grow, because we know learning is a part of our health as well too.
Yeah. And there's one other thing that AARP does have for seniors. A senior rep could take this on, but you have to apply for it. It's the AARP Age-Friendly Communities. And you gather a coalition of people from different organizations in your community, and you think about how to have activities engaging the seniors. But you make that coalition intergenerational, and that makes the community stronger because you're actually building the needs of the entire community. And you have resources, and you could do networking and see what's happening across the United States and how can we put that model into our community or share that program in our community. I thought so I volunteered to do that for Sedgwick County.
Oh, that's so exciting, Linda.
It
You know,
is.
I think it's amazing what communities can do when they work together, right?
Yes.
Especially in our small communities, I think sometimes get a bad rap of thinking that we don't have any resources, but the best resources that we have are our people in our small communities because they know the community the best, right?
Absolutely.
And I think age-friendly communities is a wonderful opportunity. And I think sometimes there's some misconceptions because it's through AARP that it's just for older adults, but it's not. They want it for any age. And one of the challenges that we have in small communities is how do we make sure our community can last for a long time, right? How can we make sure we have an economy that our community can survive? And not only that, but like how do we grow our children and our families that want to stay within this community? And that's exactly what age-friendly communities looks at. It looks at the community and economic development for people of all ages to enjoy where they live and to thrive where they live. And so that's really exciting that you're going to be working on that, Linda, and I would be happy to help out with that process for
Oh,
sure.
thank you. I welcome that. Well, Sedgwick County has 68% senior population, and that's like top heavy. And so what is there? And how can these seniors with younger folks make this a better community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said before, everybody has a gift, right? Everybody has something that they've learned or can share with one another. And I think that's the beauty about some of our small, or really all of our small communities and large communities is, how do we tap our resources? And our resources are our people. Our people are what make our businesses grow. Our people are who get things done, right? In our smaller communities, you have a really great opportunity to engage in government, right? At any level, you can advocate, you can ask for new things, you can work with kids. Our kids working in and advocating at government levels and gaining that civic capacity is so exciting. So, yeah, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for everyone to learn what from one another.
Absolutely, absolutely. And c collaboration, funders say that all the time. You're stronger together, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. My colleague Patty Schmidt again, they did a study with the Human Development Department around, and I may not say this perfectly, but around like civic capacity and the way that communities work together and COVID health outcomes. And so really looking at that social capital and within a community, the greater the social capital within a community, the better health outcomes they had with COVID. And so really, I think it just, highlights that you've got to work together to get this stuff done. Nobody can do this on their own. And the more you work together, cross sectors, right? Health can't just work with health. Health's got to work with agriculture and business and economic development.
Right. And look at how many people turned to their gardens in COVID.
Yeah.
How that helped them through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Learning a new skill, right?
Yeah.
And then sharing all the extra tomatoes and cucumbers that we get with our neighbors, right?
Well, that's where Grow and Give was first started and implemented. So, you're not just doing it for yourself, you're doing it for somebody else, and that makes you part of the community, right?
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. And that just reminds me of another thing from the blue zones. You know, one of their key indicators that they found across the zones were like having a higher purpose, right? We're not just human beings are not just meant to go to work or to get through the day, right? We've got to have a higher purpose, and caring for one another is part of that, right? We, as a species, right, are not meant to be solitary creatures.
No,
We're meant to care for one another and care for ourselves.
well, look at animals. I mean, tribes and their social and the interactions they have on a social level. But, I believe we all have a specific journey and, we have to find it and make our best life, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more.
So, is there anything else you'd like to add before we
Yeah, I
stop?
just had one more thing. I was actually connecting with my colleague, Abby Weber. She's down in our southern region, and she will be, she's working on developing a blue zone tour in Sardinia, Italy. I believe it's in 2026 or 2027. Don't quote me on that. But what we talked about yesterday was, we're opening this up to community partners of Extension. And so if anyone is interested in, learning more about doing a blue zone tour of Sardinia, Italy in the future, they can reach out to Bent County Extension Office at 719-456-0764, and that's with Abby Weber.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Can I go?
Sure.
Oh, that would be fun.
It would.
Oh,
Absolutely. Be
wow. All
amazing.
right. Well, thank you, Ginger, for joining me.
Thank you, Linda. This has been a wonderful experience. I appreciate it.
Great. Maybe I'll have you back sometime in the future and we'll talk more
Sure.
about this topic.
You got
Okay.
it. Maybe once we get to age-friendly communities, we can talk about
All
how
right.
we can expand that. That'd be great.
That's a deal. A thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter of another horticultural topic.